Welcome to the MRP Tech Podcast. This is episode 53. My name is Matt, and this is the weekly podcast discussing everyday tech for everyday people. Last week, we celebrated 1 year of podcasting with the MRP Tech Podcast, and thank you to all of you out there who listened to that episode. This week, I wanted to get into something completely new, something I have not discussed on this podcast at all, something that I have been interested in for a very long time, but just didn't know where to start, something I didn't know anything about until this last week, and that is the topic of ham radio. Now, I've heard other podcasters out there get involved with ham radio. People have been involved with ham radio for years and years and years. And the idea has interested me in a few different ways, but it's something that I never got into, never really experimented with. Now, when I was in college, or actually even late high school, I had a CB radio, Citizens Band radio, in my car that I enjoyed using from time to time. But I think when I sold my car, I left the radio in it, and I didn't remove it. And ever since then, it's been probably about good 17 years now, I haven't really done much when it is concerned with radio. And so, being a podcaster, being somebody who is interested in open source stuff, being someone who is interested in community things, ham radio has sort of been on the back burner for a long time. And just recently, on a Facebook group that I started, the Upstate New York Technology Enthusiast page, I realized there was a bunch of licensed ham operators in the area, and they sort of got me interested in doing this and in learning about it. And when I start and I'm curious about something or I want to learn about something, I jump right in. And last Thursday, about a week ago, that's exactly what I did. I jumped in headfirst into the ham radio pool, so to speak. And to give you the information out front, I knew just about zero when it came to ham radio. I knew that there are various uses for ham radio, and let's talk about some of those right now. So a lot of people think that ham radio operators are the prepper type that are expecting disaster to strike, and they are the ones that are going to keep us connected when all else fails, because when all else fails, ham radio still works because it needs no infrastructure to stay up and running. So, for instance, if the internet goes down or cell phone towers are overwhelmed during a natural disaster or anything like that, ham radio will still be there. And there are emergency organizations known as ARES, and there's another one as well that's out there, that the Amateur Radio Emergency Service, that was activated during times like 9/11 and that type of thing. So there are uses in emergency situations when it comes to ham radio. That really wasn't what interested me in the terms of getting to know this. So, what is ham radio? Well, basically, amateur radio are a series of bands, radio bands, that are set aside by the FCC to licensed individuals who have passed a basic examination. And there are 26 different channels broadcasting over various different frequencies. And these bands can be used for experimentation. As we mentioned before, they can be used for disaster communications or other purposes, such as contests and field days, where ham radio operators will get and try to gather other enthusiasts out there to participate in these different events. And there are currently over 700,000 licenses in the U.S. right now, and several million around the world. And depending on which license you have, you can talk to people locally. You can get to know people locally. Or if you have a instead of the ham tech license, you go for the ham general license. You can talk with people all over the world on different frequencies, and it's all to sort of spread international goodwill, so to speak. At least that's the hope and the idea behind ham radio. So basically how ham radio started was actually, it's kind of interesting. After the Titanic sank in 1912, there was a massive loss of life, and the sinking of the Titanic prompted the Radio Act of 1912, which basically formed the amateur radio service eventually, and sort of drew together some experts that could provide backup communications during emergencies. Now, there's various equipment that you can get, and you can get things very low cost. You can get a handheld device for about $50, or you can spend thousands of dollars on base stations and mobile stations and antennas, and you can really, the sky is the limit. Literally, the sky is the limit when it comes to ham radio, because amateur radio does not take... does not need any infrastructure, so to speak. You can actually bounce signals off the ionosphere in the sky and communicate across vast distances. Amateur enthusiasts even bounce signals off of space stations, satellites. Even the crazy enthusiasts, they even bounce signals off of the moon when it's considered Earth to moon to Earth communication. Some really crazy amateur radio enthusiasts, they will wait for a meteor to go overhead, and using the ionized air behind the meteor coming into the Earth's atmosphere, they'll actually get an increased signal from that. That's really crazy stuff. But just shows you that really the sky is the limit when it comes to amateur radio. And it's still being used today by a lot of people. And as I got into this past week, I want to forward some things that I managed to discover during the last week and learn during the last week, and encourage those of you out there who have never done this to maybe take a look at it. Now, what got me really interested in ham radio is nothing that I've mentioned so far. The reason that I got interested in it is because, as someone who is relatively good at using computers and technology, the one thing that I've never really been good at is electronics. And then when I discovered that the ham tech license, the very basic license that you need by the FCC, talks a lot about electronics, I was all in. I was ready to go. And basically, the FCC exam is not considered difficult. You do not need to learn Morse code anymore in order to be an entry-level tech license. So it's estimated that probably 90% of the people that actually put the time and work and energy into reading and learning about the tech license pass the very first time. And students as young as 14 years old, or maybe even younger, who are really interested in this stuff, have passed and become basic ham radio operators. So it's pretty cool. Now, what I've decided to do, I haven't actually taken the test yet. I've been working on this about a week on and off. And on April 8th, there is a local exam being given. And I think I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to take that exam. Now, if you want more information on how to learn about this stuff, a really great resource, and then there are tons of great resources online, and I could go through many different websites, but the one that I have found most helpful is the American Radio Relay League, the ARRL. And you can go to ARRL.org, and you can learn all about this stuff. There are PDFs available for you to read. There are test questions available for you to try. There are 35 questions on a tech license exam, the entry-level exam. And that 35 questions comes from a pool of about 300 questions. And all of those questions are available online for free on various websites. You can take training exams. You can watch training videos on YouTube. And let's talk about some of those resources, okay? So on the ARRL website, if you go under licensing, education, and training, there are tons of resources available for you. You can find out where the next tech test site is happening in your area. You can look up where to go to take an exam, who to contact, who are the volunteer examiners in your area, and really learn a lot in a short amount of time. So one of the things that I wanted to talk about to all of you was some of the things that I've done this week. So the very first thing that I did, I found a study guide. It's called the No Nonsense Technician Class License Study Guide. And it's by Dan Romanchik, R-O-M-A-N-C-H-I-K, also known by the call sign KB6NU. And this is a great book, PDF, available to download for free. And at the same time, I actually found this book was available in Audible, if you're an Audible subscriber, and it was only like $5 to do that. And I actually downloaded the PDF and I bought the audiobook. And this book is very concise, down to the point, exactly what you need to know for the exam with nothing else. And a person like me who had no experience whatsoever, what I did is I sort of listened to the audiobook. I went and watched a few YouTube videos on the basics of ham radio operation. And I sort of went back and forth. There were things I didn't understand at first. And rather than getting overwhelmed, what I did is I sort of took it piece by piece. Things sort of made sense to me. If it didn't make sense to me, then I went to other resources like YouTube and tried to learn about something that didn't make any sense. So example, Ohm's Law, when talking about voltage and current and resistance and power and the differences between those functions and how they're all measured, voltage being in volts and currents in amps, resistance being in ohms and power being measured by watts. All of that stuff I wasn't really trained on ever. And so I needed a little bit more from that. And these aren't hard topics. And if you're curious a little about electronics, I would suggest that the ham radio tech license would be something for you to learn about circuits, basic circuitry. And it's a really step-by-step approach to learning about this. Now, I'm not an electronics expert after 4 days of reading these books, but I do know a heck of a lot more than I did, and it sort of refreshed my memory from some high school classes that I took a long time ago. But also with this book, the No Nonsense Technician Class Study Guide, I went and downloaded the pool of questions, all 300 questions that are on the exam. So I started going through these questions step by step and downloaded a few apps on my phone. And these apps are sample questions, training guides that can help you learn the format of the test and tell you if you're heading on the right track, if you passed or you failed. I believe for the test, you need to get a 76% or higher to get your license. And basically, I think that's about 6 questions that you can get wrong out of 35. So the apps on the phone have been tremendously helpful. You can search the App Store. I know they're available on Android and Apple iOS. There are some paid apps. I downloaded free apps, and the free apps work great. The ham tech license app, the ham radio apps, and a few other things that we're going to get to in a few minutes. So my goal here is to learn about something new, learn about something I've never done before. I've talked a lot about that in this podcast. And the reason is I always like to show that to my students, that when we're doing something difficult, you know, I like to do that too. You're learning something difficult right now for you. I still do that today, and I'm a lifelong learner. And I think that's a great message for my students. So continuing on, as I learned more about this, I got really interested in using Ham Linux over internet-connected repeaters, and where I could talk over my computer. Still can't do that yet because I don't have a license. But I learned about things like Echolink. It's software you can download for Windows where you can communicate digitally through your computer, connecting to ham radio repeaters and connect over the internet and have that connection with ham radio operators. You can use it on your phone. You can use it on a computer. And that way you don't have to have an antenna in your house. And I think the route I'm going to go first is I think I'm eventually going to get a handheld radio just so I have. And the reason I want one of those is because I'm a hiker, and I think the benefits of having a ham radio as a hiker would be huge, because when you're out in the mountains, if you happen to come across somebody who's hurt, or even more, if you get hurt yourself, then you have a chance to have a sort of backup just in case you don't have cell phone service. If you're out way out in the mountains, maybe you can hit a repeater somewhere that's on top of a mountain. You never know. And so just having that backup ability would be kind of a nice thing to have. So once you take the exam, as soon as your information shows up on the FCC database, then you can actually start transmitting, and you can actually start communicating on these websites or on these radio frequencies. You're limited at first. If you go on to your general exam, then you can have access to all sorts of different frequencies. And what I'm going to do, when you pay for your license fee, it's about $15. And when you pay for that, that's for the exam session itself. So you can actually try the next level up in licensing. You can try the next level up at no extra cost. So if you know a little bit about this stuff, which I plan on learning a little bit more over the next week, there's a possibility that you can get your general license at the same session as your very basic technical license. So some people even do all three licenses. There's the technical license, there's a general license, and then there is the amateur extra license that is probably far more complicated than I'm going to try in the very first run through here. But I'm excited about trying something new. And I'd like to know if there's any other ham radio operators out there. And you can send me an email. Just go over to mrptechreviews.com and you hit the contact form and let me know your call sign. I still don't know a whole lot about this. Like I said, I went from knowing zero last Thursday to probably averaging, 90% now on the practice exams. There's still a lot of things I don't know, and I'm going to learn in the process. And we'll see how far I go with this. Things like Echolink are really interesting to me. If you're a Mac user, you can use Echo Mac. It's the same software, basically, connecting to the Echolink system. And on Linux, you can use Echolink under Wine. I'm not sure how well that works. I haven't tried it yet. But there's also something called SVX Link that connects to Echolink. And the project it's an open source project that started out as an Echolink application for Linux back in 2003 and has been around for a while now. And there's also something called Qtel, Q-T-E-L, and that's also an Echolink client as well. And I'm going to try these out as soon as I get my call sign, which will hopefully be in about a week or so, and kind of go from there. Another great audiobook that I've been listening to. Now, the one that I mentioned before, the No Nonsense book, that was very quick and to the point and exactly what you need to know. There's another audiobook out there that I have started listening to. It's called The Fast Track to Your Technician Class Ham License. Ham Radio License, sorry. The Fast Track to Your Technician Class Ham Radio License. This one is by Michael Burnett and is currently up to date, just like the No Nonsense book is, up until June 2018, I believe. This is about 7 hours and 49 minutes long. And this goes in depth with every single question on that in the question pool and gives you all the answers, explains in great detail why the answers are the way they are, and skips over some of the more easier questions. And the narrator is hysterical. He's really fun to listen to, really makes ham radio fun rather than making it seem complicated or hard or difficult. Now, somebody who knew absolutely nothing a week ago, what I know now is very limited. But at the same time, I feel like I've learned a ton, and this helps me in so many different applications as far as what I do professionally, believe it or not, in the music world. All of these things that I've seen on soundboards, whether it's low gate and high gate, low pass and high pass, all relate to frequencies and gain relating to transistors. This is all making sense to me now, using things like soundboards that that are basically using electronics to control live sound systems. Now I'm sort of kind of understanding how that all works, which is something that I never really knew before. So for me, has ham radio had really not a whole lot to do with communicating under emergency situations or that prepper attitude that a lot of people think they have. For me, it was a lot about the electronics. I wanted to learn a little bit more. My father ran businesses for a long time, installing satellite dishes and putting up antennas. And so I've seen him for years use voltage meters and multimeters to check signal and that type of thing for antennas and satellite dishes. And that's something I'm a little bit interested in too. When the time comes for me to do that, that'll be awesome. But I encourage all of you out there to, if you've never gotten into ham radio and you're thinking about it, to please go to the ARRL website, find your local exam center, get the study guides, watch YouTube videos, maybe listen to some audiobooks. There's so much free stuff out there for ham radio interested individuals. There's sites you can go and you can pay for a service and they'll guarantee that you pass the test. But I didn't even go that route. I just found a lot of information for free, all the test questions and all of the help that you can get. It's a giant community that, they just want more people to become involved with. A lot of people think ham radio is declining and there's no reason for it. With everything that I'm reading, I find that absolutely there's still plenty of uses for it. We've seen things like 9/11 and Hurricane Katrina where ham radio operators sort of saved the day. And having that knowledge is something that is, maybe hopefully you'll never need to use it, but having a ham tech license is a great way to start if you're interested. So let me know if you're interested in ham radio. I'll keep you posted on my findings over the next few weeks. And if I pass the exam, I'll be sure to let you know and pass on my call sign and kind of go from there. So that's going to do it for this episode. Thanks for listening. And I hope you're enjoying this series of podcasts. Please check out podnuts.com for the rest of the great shows over at Podnuts. And thanks so much for listening. We'll see you next time.